chapter 5. This morning we were in chapter 1. Song of Solomon is, again, a very unique book. It's one that very few messages are preached from. I've preached through the book twice during my ministry, and I've preached many messages from Song of Solomon, many at revival meetings, and almost every time if I preach from Song of Solomon at a revival meeting, someone will come up to me and say, "You know, I've never heard a message on Song of Solomon." That doesn't mean they weren't in a hearing of one preach, but they didn't hear it. But you don't hear many messages. And it's a very rich book. One of these days, before I die, I'd like to preach a series on marriage from Song of Solomon. There's much there, of course. But tonight we'd like to read verses 2 through 7. Pretty familiar passage. It's the woman speaking. She says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved." That's what awoke her. "That knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. My bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved hath withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me." Again, while most of the Bible deals with history and doctrine, Song of Solomon really doesn't. Doesn't deal with history. Doesn't really deal with doctrine, though there's much doctrine to be learned from the book. Again, it is a song, a story of love told in a song, primarily allegorical, a lot of metaphors and imagery. Again, it's a story of a man and a woman in love. Throughout the song, they're seen in communion with one another, expressing their love to one another, portraying especially the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church that he established during his earthly ministry. But again, as we said this morning, that being said, there are many applications for the individual child of God. There are many applications for husband and wife, but many applications concerning the child of God and their relationship with Jesus Christ. In our text, Solomon paints a picture, paints a scene, in which the bride is asleep, and she's awakened by the voice of her bridegroom, but she's not fully awake. And he has a special request to her, which of course provides her with a very special opportunity. But due to her condition, half asleep, half awake, she fails to avail herself of the opportunity that was before her. There's a warning there for you and I. So what we see here is very instructive. And it does serve as a warning. I want to speak tonight on the danger of spiritual sluggishness. The danger of spiritual sluggishness. And that's what we have a picture of here in these verses. First of all, consider her state. Her state of spiritual sluggishness. She confesses in verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's a state of semi-consciousness. Again, half asleep, half awake. I sleep, but my heart waketh. She's not totally unconscious, yet she's not awake enough to give proper attention to what was before her, to give proper attention to him, to give proper attention to her relationship with him. So what is being described here is a state, you can call it spiritual fatigue, but it's really more than that. It's a state of spiritual sluggishness. It's a lethargic state, a drowsy and weary state. It's really what's pictured in Revelation chapter 3, if we turn there, very familiar passage concerning the church of Laodicea. But in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, verses that are very much misunderstood, the Lord says to this church, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I heard for years after I was saved that what the Lord is saying here is he'd rather you be either on fire for the Lord or backslidden all the way. I always had a problem with that. That just doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. It does not coincide with Scripture. That's not what the Lord is telling this church. But he mentions cold, hot. He's referring to a drink. A cold drink is refreshing. A hot drink is refreshing. A cold drink that's turned lukewarm is not refreshing. A hot drink that is turned lukewarm is not refreshing. So what he's talking about is that which has ceased to be refreshing. Again, a cold drink or a hot drink becomes lukewarm, not all of a sudden, but over a period of time. It becomes lukewarm through neglect. It becomes lukewarm through indifference. The Laodicean church was not refreshing spiritually. They were lukewarm. And again, that didn't happen overnight. I believe what the Lord is saying here is that this church lacked interest. This church lacked enthusiasm. There was a lack of concern. There was a lack of zeal. There was a lack of response. They were apathetic. They were merely existing in spiritual matters. They were half-hearted. They were spiritually numb. This condition was unacceptable and nauseating to the Lord. He said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, it was sickening to the Lord. It was nauseating to the Lord. Their condition of lukewarmness. Notice also that the condition caused a problem with their perception concerning themselves. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So their condition caused them to have a perception problem as well. And so it is today. Our spiritual condition and our perception go hand in hand. If we become lukewarm or we become sluggish spiritually, our perception is all messed up. Our perception concerning ourselves, our perception concerning the Lord. But this church, as you read, we see that they were self-centered. They were self-occupied. They were self-satisfied. They were self-sufficient. We have need of nothing. They were very self-confident. They glorified themselves. They were independent. They were arrogant. They were vain. They were worldly minded. And on we could go. And we see this in our text. I sleep, but my heart waketh. That's her state. That's her condition at this particular time. Which leads us to, while she was in this state, a state of spiritual sluggishness, a spiritual opportunity arose. Spiritual opportunities arise every day. Every day you and I open our eyes, spiritual opportunities are before us. A day is filled with spiritual opportunities. Opportunities for our relationship with the Lord to be stronger. Opportunities for you and I to be closer to the Lord. But we have a problem. We find ourselves many times in the same state as the woman in our text. I sleep, but my heart waketh. So as she lies upon her bed, in this state of semi-slumber, she becomes aware of the voice of the lover of her soul. And he's calling to her from the outside of the door. Again, my sheep hear my voice. They don't always respond, but they do hear. A true child of God, a truly saved person, hears the voice of the Lord. But they're not always in a condition to respond properly. So she hears his voice. She hears his persistent knocking at the door. His voice is very tender. His voice is pleading. He's saying, open to me. Open to me. Again, it's a picture of Christ seeking fellowship with his redeemed people. The Lord longs for fellowship with his people. That's amazing. That God would long for fellowship with you and I is an amazing thing. He wants to fellowship with us. And that's what's happening right here in this passage. He says, open to me, my sister. That speaks of a relationship. That speaks of a family relationship, my sister, my love, my dove. All of those words speak of a loving relationship And he adds, my undefiled. That speaks of his esteem for her. Now, she had many things wrong with her, as you and I do as well. But that's not how he saw her. He saw her as undefiled. My undefiled. Again, that's amazing. Open to me. Open to me. It's a call of love. It's a call of nearness. It's a call to leave where she was. If she's going to open the door, she has to get out of the bed. So it's a call to leave where she was. How many times in a day does the Lord call upon us to leave where we are? Oh, many. Every time we get somewhere where we shouldn't be, whether it be a spiritual state or whatever, I believe if you listen, the Lord is calling you to leave that place. Whether it be a place in our minds, and the Lord is saying, open to me, leave where you are, don't stay there. But we find ourselves in a condition where we don't respond properly. Open to me. That is a call in the present. It's not something to do in the future. It's a call for right now. Open to me. It's a direct call. It's a call that demands spontaneous acceptance. Open to me. So we have to be in a condition to respond. We have to be in a condition to respond immediately. But often we're not. And this is what's also pictured in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. A verse that is taken way, way, way out of context. And a whole theological system has been built upon taking this verse out of context. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Isn't that what we see in Song of Solomon 5? I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The Lord's talking to a church. He's not talking to a lost sinner. He's not telling the lost sinner to open their heart to Jesus. That doesn't line up with the Lord opening the heart of Lydia. It doesn't line up with the Word of God's teaching concerning man. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking to the saved concerning fellowship with the Lord. And the Lord knocks. Just as he's doing here in Song of Solomon. Chapter 5. So it's not a call to salvation. It's not a call, but it is a call to the saved to fellowship with him. So we see him. He's knocking. And he keeps on knocking. And he's speaking. He has come to where this woman is. And he's outside the door. And he's desiring and seeking fellowship with her. Again, that's amazing. She had experienced fellowship with him in the past. Notice in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And the fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Verse 6, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. She's experienced this fellowship in the past. And now it's nighttime. She's asleep, but she's partly awake because of that knock. because of his voice. Open to me. Open to me. It was an opportunity. An opportunity had arisen. An opportunity to be together with him. Does not that opportunity arise every single day? An opportunity for you and I to be together with him. It is an opportunity to receive from him. And every day we have opportunity to receive from him. It is an opportunity to interact with him. Open to me. To interact with the Lord. And we have that opportunity every single day. It's an opportunity to experience him. It's an opportunity to enjoy him. She's enjoyed him in the past. And now she has another opportunity to experience and to enjoy him, to be refreshed by him, to be invigorated by him. This is the opportunity that's before her right now. And it's before us all the time. She now has an opportunity to be more visibly identified with him. She has an opportunity of fellowship. Fellowship with God is abundant life. Fellowship with God is the resurrection life. And oh, what a life is ours to live. To have fellowship with the Savior of our soul. So he says, open to me. What an opportunity. Open to me. And how often he comes to where we are and speaks those very same words. Again, it's an invitation to fellowship. This is where we find, and it's in fellowship with him that we find assurance that only he can give. It is fellowship with him that where we find strength. It's fellowship with him where we find peace, where we find wisdom. Where we find victory. Where we are fulfilled spiritually. It's all with fellowship with him. This is where spiritual desires are developed. Fellowship with him. You don't develop spiritual desires away from Christ. You don't develop spiritual desires by sitting in the house of God. You develop spiritual desires by being close to him and by fellowshipping with him. And those spiritual desires are developed and they're fed and they're nourished. It's all in fellowship with him. And that's the opportunity that is hers when he says, open to me. This is where convictions are formed. You want biblical convictions? Spend time with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord. Interact with the Lord. That's where convictions are formed. That's where convictions are strengthened. What an opportunity is ours to fellowship with the Lord. This is where we're in fellowship with the Lord is where we're able to live above this world and not get sucked in by the world. So it's his grace and mercy that desires to fellowship with us. It's his grace and mercy that seeks to fellowship with us. So we see her condition. It's a condition of sluggishness. And while in this condition, a wonderful opportunity arises. Which brings us to her response to the opportunity while in this condition. Notice she is conscious enough to hear. To hear his voice. To hear his knocking. She's even conscious enough to recognize his voice. She says in verse 2, it is the voice of my beloved. So she knew who was on the other side of the door. She knew who was knocking.
She knew who was speaking. She knew that voice because she had heard it before. Notice chapter 2 again, verse 8. The voice of my beloved. She knew that voice. Verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me. So she knew that voice. She recognized that voice. And she loves him. It's the voice of my beloved. She has no desire to be unkind to him. But in this condition that she's in, though it is not her desire to be unkind to him, she is. While in this condition, the truth is she's more concerned with the satisfaction of her fleshly needs than she is the one on the other side of the door. It's all because of this condition. He's knocking. He's pleading. He's desiring closer fellowship with her. She has a wonderful opportunity of blessing. And she, in her state of semi-slumber, is willing to put him off. Willing to put him off. And there is no open door of welcome. We do not always treat the Lord with good hospitality. The Lord comes to us many times, and we're downright rude. Because of a condition. Because of a condition. So there's no open door of welcome here. And she began to make excuses. We always do. It's human nature. She says in verse 3, she's given reasons why she can't or won't open the door. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've already taken my coat off. Lord, do you realize how inconvenient it is for me to put it back on? That's basically what she's saying here. It's due to this spiritual condition. She says, I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Again, she's washed her feet to get up out of that bed and walk to the door. Her feet's going to get dirty. Dirt floors. They didn't have tile. They didn't have carpet. She was inconvenienced. She was inconvenienced. Anytime you and I feel inconvenienced about the Lord, we're wrong. We're not right. So what she's saying is, Lord, I know it's you, and I love you, but you've got to understand, I have already undressed. I have already gotten ready for bed. I have washed my feet. And if I get up out of this bed now and walk upon the floor, my feet are going to get dirty and I'll have to wash them all over again. That's rude. There's no getting around it. She does not desire to be unkind, but because of her condition, that's exactly what she is. You see, she's comfortable. She's comfortable in her bed. And she's become careless. And really, she takes him and the opportunity that is before her for granted. It's like her thought process is, you know, I got to get up in the morning. Wait till then. She's taking it for granted. How many spiritual blessings do we take for granted? Spiritual opportunities are before us, and we just think, well, they'll be there tomorrow too. You don't know that. We take it for granted. We take the Lord for granted. But she lingers in her sleepiness. She hears His voice. He continues to call. He continues to knock. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. But she is saying, due to her state of sluggishness, not now. Not now. Wait. Some other time. I would, but. Here it comes. I would, but. And here come the excuses. And that's what she does. She heard His voice. She heard what He said. She heard Him knock. She knew who was at the door. She also saw His hand come through the latch of the door. And when she saw that hand reaching for the latch, she had compassion. Suddenly there was a stirring in her. She says, my bowels, which means her heart, were moved for Him. It's not that in her state of sluggishness that she had no feelings at all toward Him. But she wasn't in a condition to properly respond to the Lord. You see, she's like a lot of God's people. She wants to set the terms. Oh yeah, fellowship with the Lord, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. But I'll set the terms. I'll set the terms. And right now I'm too busy. Right now I've got too much going on. Right now it'd just be too inconvenient. We've all done it. Some do it all the time. Some live their life that way. You see, she's had her bath. She's put on her night garments. And she just doesn't want to be bothered. That's a terrible condition to get in. First of all, to even think that the Lord is bothering you is a terrible condition. She would open the door in her own time. He's calling, He's knocking. And to her, it's no big deal for Him to continue to do so. To her, it's no big deal to put Him off. And again, this is all due to her condition. And it's the very reason that many of God's people who ought to be serving the Lord, who ought to be submitting to the Lord and worshiping Him and thanking Him and praising Him for simply saving their souls. But rather than doing those things, they're cold and they're powerless. Because they have and they are putting Christ off. They're in kind of a fog spiritually. That's a very dangerous place to be. Which leads us to our last point. A spiritual opportunity was lost. In her own good time, she decided when she saw His hand, her heart was moved. She decided to get up and let Him in. But to her grief and dismay, she says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved
had withdrawn himself. He wasn't there. The opportunity had passed. When she opened the door, he was gone. She would look to the right. She would look to the left. She would look forward. He's nowhere to be seen. Where did he go? And she goes on to say in verse 6, I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. And many of God's people would respond to that. Well, how could the Lord do that? Not give her an answer. How could she do that? Lying in the bed. Not opening the door. I can understand how God would not answer us. That's not the mystery. The mystery is, how did she not respond? It's because of this condition she's in. So she rushes out, calls his name. Oh, my beloved, come back. Come back. I'm ready for you now. That's how many of God's people are. I'm ready for you now, Lord. They set the terms. As she calls, there's no answer. He's gone. She's grief-stricken. She's almost frantic. The lesson is, we cannot put the Lord off and ignore Him, ignore His will, until we get good and ready and expect Him to jump at our bidding. But that's exactly what many expect. I've had people tell me, well, I prayed and prayed and the Lord didn't answer my prayer. No, it could be because you're in the same condition as this woman. How sad. There are many today of God's people who are more wrapped up in themselves and the secular interest of life than they are the Lord. And spiritual opportunity is before them and they lose it every single day. You cannot treat the Lord any way you please and snap your finger when you want Him to do something for you. That's not how it works. Notice verse 7. The watchman, she's out now looking for him. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. People may respond, oh, those watchmen are terrible. She would have opened the door. She wouldn't have had to be out there. If she would have responded properly, she wouldn't have had to go out in the street. She brought these problems on herself. And she brought these problems on herself because she ignored the Lord. And so it is today. People bring most problems upon themselves because they absolutely refuse to do it God's way. They absolutely refuse to be in fellowship with the Lord. So she goes out into the city in search of her beloved. And there, she meets trouble. There out in the city streets is where she meets trouble. Again, had she responded to his call, she would not have needed to go into the street. Could have avoided what happened to her there, and how many troubles and difficulties and sorrows would be avoided if we just responded to his calls, to his directions,
instead of making excuses, instead of trying to set our own terms, waiting for some more convenient time. I've been listening to it for 40 years. People, oh, it won't be long. I'll be able to do such and such. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because it's a spiritual issue. It's not an issue with circumstances. It's a spiritual problem. Just like here, this woman could have got up from the bed right away. But she chose not to. So it is today. So she's an example. After she opened the door and he wasn't there, she becomes an example to us because she begins to seek him. She begins to call. And if you miss a spiritual opportunity, and people all the time, and you willfully choose to do something else rather than be in the house of God, you have chosen to miss a spiritual opportunity. But when you miss that opportunity, you need to do what she did. She began to seek him. She began to call out to him. She was humiliated by the watchmen. They took her veil. They wounded her. But she continued to seek him and call for him. Now she's at a point where she will not be deterred. She's an example to us now. Don't ever be deterred from seeking the Lord. Don't ever be deterred. At this point, she's willing to endure anything to be reunited. There for a while, she didn't even want to endure putting her coat back on and getting out of bed. Now she's willing to endure anything just to find him, to be reunited with him. She says in verse 8, she says to the women of Jerusalem, the daughters of Jerusalem, if you see my beloved, tell him that I'm sick of love. That is, tell him I'm lovesick. I'm ill. The reason she was ill is because of her behavior before. She's now lovesick. She now aches to be near him and in his arms. And she wants more than anything to be reunited to him. Before, she was too lazy and too indifferent to get out of bed. But now, she'll do anything. That's the place we need to be. Not lying in the bed, half awake spiritually, where we only halfway hear anything. Spiritual sluggishness is a very dangerous thing. But may we be like her, seeking him. And as you get toward the end of the book, she is reunited. She's with him again. Never, ever stop seeking the Lord. Never. If you get at a distance from him, seek him. You know you're not right, seek him. You know there's something between you and him, seek him. Seek the Lord. Don't just curl up in a ball in some corner and feel sorry for yourself. Chances are you put yourself in the position you're in. But seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. So all may we, and we all get to these places where we become spiritually sluggish. We hear what he's saying, but it's like we can't move. We're paralyzed. That's a horrible place to be. Anytime our we do not immediately respond to the Lord's voice, we're in bad shape. In bad shape. A lot of bad things can happen during our unresponsiveness to the Lord. So may she be a lesson to us to avoid spiritual sluggishness, a semi-conscious state. There are God's people who have lived in that state most of their saved life. You can't function in that state. You can't progress in that state. But when he moved his hand through the hole of the door, she awakened. And whatever it takes to awaken God's people, to just awaken the people of God, to stir us to get up and open the door and seek him until we find him. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse 7.